Hello, everybody. Welcome to News for the Soul.
This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Okay, everybody, take a deep breath. We know that we choose to come to this world, and we're chosen to come to this world. Let's open up our heart and open up our soul and let the true awareness of News for the Soul make its impact now and forever.
The world is not as we've been told, Nicole. There's something going on here.
You just can't tell the conscious journalist that you caught the cluster at LaGuardia and went to Jupiter without more detail. So we're now back it up to that part of the story because, wow, you've now teleported to New York. You're getting on a cluster at LaGuardia. Okay, please walk me through that. What was that like?
Well, first of all, to somebody that hadn't experienced it themselves, the idea of going into LaGuardia Airport and being able to go up to the counter and buy a ticket on the Jupiter flight is outrageous. But that's what I did. I believe that there exists another dimension here on Earth where right alongside, it's like a radio channel or a TV channel.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're not, you can't see them, they're there, and you can switch between those channels. And I believe that interdimensionally, they call it the multiverse now, the physicists do, that these dimensions exist side by side. And I believe that what I actually did, I believe that I was teleported into another dimension that looked very, very similar. In fact, it might even be exactly the same, except for the slight changes that involve spacecraft and this type of thing. And I was told that these crafts come and go on a regular basis, that this is not unusual, that this planet has been visited and been completely involved with the extraterrestrial civilization for literally millions of years.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Nicole Whitney, and this is News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. As you've heard so far, it's very unexplained. And, you know, over the years, we've done many interesting things on the show with regards to the unexplained, like paranormal investigations, ghostbusters on the air with all heck breaking loose, and live UFO watches with interesting results. I've even gone to Peru and filmed some myself and had some very out-of-the-box experiences which challenged my journalist belief system all to heck. And the more I found out, the more I thought, well, we don't know squat. So, while my initial programming and conditioning had trained me to judge and dispel, I now stay open on the subject and I don't judge. If I don't have a direct experience of something, I don't know. I don't repeat what I've been told. I don't judge based on someone else's alleged experience. And that's what I encourage you to do. So, interesting story tonight. Producer of Fast Walkers, the movie, Robert Miles is here as my guest for the full hour. He says he went to LaGuardia Airport and got a spaceship out to a meeting, a briefing, if you will, on Jupiter with 50 others. Is it true? Heck, I don't know, but it makes for a very interesting show, and the movie sounds amazing. So, check out today's story with my guest, Robert Miles. You can find his website, fastwalkers.com. And here we go now to a previously recorded interview now in session with Robert Miles of Fast Walkers.
I was very, very tired of that. I had Corvettes and speedboats and land and property, and I sold it all and I built a boat. I built a 47-foot sailing trimaran, which was a very modern ship at that time. Sailed down the coast of Oregon, never knew how to sail. We taught ourselves as we went, ended up down in California, then later sailed to Hawaii. And spent 2.5 years in the Hawaiian Islands with the dream of sailing around the world. And it was a very spiritual experience over there, but I kind of got tired of the whole surfing, partying, boat life, and I decided to sell the boat. And the morning that I was delivering it to the person, about 5 o'clock in the morning, I had gotten up a little earlier, and the thing that had happened is I'm used to getting up at 4 o'clock for the 4 o'clock watch, so I've gotten up, made coffee, got dressed, gone back to my stateroom, which had a large double bed with a backboard that I sat against, and I was watching the sunrise over Alawai Yacht Harbor through the skylight, and all of a sudden the most incredible energy and tingling began to happen, and this, like, cosmic energy completely filled with the stateroom and my entire being. And this beautiful woman materialized in my stateroom standing right beside me. And I said, God, I must be dreaming. And she smiled and laughed and said, no, you're not dreaming. And in a matter of what became a little over an hour, she told me, first of all, that she was a friend and she represented a group of extraterrestrials.
So at this point, before you carry forward in the story, I mean, what was your frame of reference for that kind of stuff prior? I mean, were you open to it? Did you have friends that had weird experiences, quote-unquote, in quotation marks, weird experiences? And what was your frame of reference? And when was this again, by the way?
Okay, this was in 1971.
Okay.
Aboard my boat in Alawai Yacht Harbor in Hawaii. And that's right in downtown Honolulu. And my frame of reference had been that I had studied some of the esoteric religions, and I had recently gotten involved with some of the New Age awareness people, and we had talked a lot about extraterrestrials. I had met people that had told me that they had been actually contacted before. But looking back on it now, I remember as a very young kid, about 6 years old, having an experience when I lived in a logging camp in eastern Oregon. But at the time, I had no recall of that event. And so I was very open to the idea. I had been raised a Catholic. My father was a Mormon. My mother was a Catholic. I had read a lot of stuff, done a little bit of hypnosis, and I'd heard about Casey, and I'd heard about the different Eastern religions. But, you know, I had never had any kind of an extraterrestrial contact that I was aware of. And so when when this beautiful woman materialized next to me in my bed, I thought I was dreaming or hallucinating. And, you know, she said, you're not. And I actually touched her, and she felt as real as, you know, if I were to reach out and touch my family that are here in the house with me this morning, she felt just that real. And she said that she wanted me to go to a briefing. And I was first teleported to New York City, and when I was in New York City, I actually boarded a spacecraft at LaGuardia Airport. And this, to anybody that's not familiar with interdimensionality and what's now commonly known among the very top physicists in the world as the multiverse, this sounds absolutely outrageous and impossible. But what I've done over the years is I've studied the fact that these kind of things are happening on planet Earth. And I boarded a saucer there in New York. I went to the planet Jupiter. While I was on the planet, I attended a briefing, and I was shown, told, I saw holograms, or I had a vision, or I actually moved into the future to where I saw much of the cataclysms and the upcoming Earth changes that I believe, or actually I know, are going to be happening to planet Earth and that the people of the planet are going to be experiencing. And after doing that, I then returned back, having accepted a mission to use modern communications and to produce motion pictures, films, and I wrote a book called Safe Space, The Experience. And there's actually a link to that on the Safe Space Project website, and that's www.safespaceproject.com, and that link is called Encounters.
Okay.
The link is called Safe Space, and the story was actually purchased by Columbia Pictures. I wrote it up as a manuscript. A producer read it and bought it, and I worked for 2 years with Columbia with a budget of $3 million, which this was before Star Wars, and Star Wars cost $1.7 million and was done 2 years later. But I worked with Douglas Trumbull, who went on to do 2001. He did many of the other series, and Michael Greskopf, who was the producer of Silent Running, if people remember the three little robots, Huey, Dewey, and Louie. And ultimately, the story was changed. My hero, who comes to this planet to save the planet, was turned into an assassin. who assassinated all the top political leaders on the planet. And fortunately, the story was never done. I got the rights back, and over the years, have always wanted to get into the motion picture business at a level that we could do the actual Safe Space story itself. Now, I also know we're going to talk about Fast Walkers, and I want people to be aware that Fast Walkers is a documentary that has 25 of the top and more of the top people in the world who are familiar with not only ETs, UFOs, and the subject of exopolitics, but it contains, you know, firsthand accounts by people that have had contact experiences, and there's some stuff in there about abduction, but it's not the Safe Space story.
Now, having prefaced all of that, I wanted to kind of let you run there so people see why they're going to hang in for the whole story, but you just can't tell a conscious journalist that you caught the suspect at LaGuardia and went to Jupiter without more details. So we're now back it up to that part of the story because, wow. Okay, and this is in 1971.
That's correct.
You had this woman, alien, extraterrestrial entity, beam into your stateroom. You've now teleported to New York. You're getting on a buffer at LaGuardia. Okay, please walk me through that. What was that like?
Well, first of all, to somebody that hadn't experienced it themselves, the idea of going into LaGuardia Airport and being able to go up to the counter and buy a ticket on the Jupiter flight is outrageous. But that's what I did. And I then took a elevator to an upper level where there was like a enclosed area there, like a boarding area, and I boarded this book with a beautiful round, very comfortable lounge-like interior, and had a seat. There were no safety belts or seat belts. I could look out the side. There was like a porthole. And within just a few minutes, there were other people aboard the craft, and there were attendants. And they wore what we now know kind of as a material like Lycra. But in those days, in the 70s, Lycra was not a fabric that was that I had ever seen before in that era. But these people looked totally human, Nicole. I mean, it was not like I was looking at some green or gray lizard guy or anything weird. These individuals were totally human-like. And later I've come to understand that there's many different species or civilizations. They're really civilizations. They're not species of individuals, extraterrestrials that are visiting the planet. Some of them look very human-like. Robert Dean talks a lot about that. But I went aboard the saucer within a short time, it seemed like maybe 10 or 15 minutes. The craft took off. I could look out through the porthole and see us leaving the Earth. And it was a beautiful sight when I arrived on Jupiter.
Before you get to the Jupiter part, I want to get back into the airport. I mean, are other people noticing that something's different in your area of the airport? Are other people seeming to see the ship as it's taking off?
I believe that there exists another dimension here on Earth where right alongside it's like a radio channel or a TV channel.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're not, you can't see them, they're there, and you can switch between those channels. And I believe that interdimensionally, they call it the multiverse now, the physicists do, that these dimensions exist side by side. And I believe that what I actually did, I believe that I was teleported into another dimension that looked very, very similar. In fact, it might even be exactly the same except for the slight changes that involve spacecraft and this type of thing. And I was told that these crafts come and go on a regular basis, that this is not unusual, that this planet has been visited and been completely involved with the extraterrestrial civilization for literally millions of years.
So almost like you were teleported into a different dimension or version of the LaGuardia Airport then.
Exactly.
Okay. And which would explain why people are appearing solid and real and such. Now, where do you start with this one? So after the woman that came into your stateroom, was she with you through the trip?
No, she wasn't, but she was there to meet me. And with her were some other individuals, and I went to a briefing. I deboarded from the saucer, and I looked back, and it was a beautiful silver-looking disc-like craft, probably three times the size of a 747. The entire surface of Jupiter had that same resonant frequency of energy. It was like my whole being was tingling every time I was in contact with these individuals. And people have asked me many, many times, how would you know if you met an extraterrestrial? And I would tell them by their energy, because their energy is, it's the difference between like 110 electricity, where you kind of stick your finger and it tingles in the socket, to like 220 or 440. It's just incredibly amazing. And it's almost orgasmic in the sense that your body is so elevated, both physically and mentally, as a result of being in contact with them.
So euphoric, would that be the word, euphoric?
Yeah, well, definitely euphoric, but even more so, it's like, Nicole, it totally changed my life. I have never been the same since that experience. And I came back, as I indicated, from that briefing with having agreed to use my skills as a communications person through the medium of motion picture and television and also a book. But now with the internet, we have this wonderful vehicle for bringing out, you know, and basically what I want to say, it's a message of good news and hope, because we can change that big future. We don't have to have the cataclysms. We don't have to have the Earth shift, the pole shift. We don't have to have the levels of pollution that we have now. And like Al Gore is saying out there in his documentary, An Inconvenient Truth, he's saying that people need to work together to change this. And that's the message that I come back with, too, is that we as individuals, you and I, our friends, our family, our neighbors, the people in the other countries, you know, they don't want war. They want to make this a better place to live, and we can do that by working together. And that's the story of Safe Space. And it's also, to some degree, the message that's put out in our new documentary, Fast Walkers.
So that's the true nature of human spirit. I believe that, too. You know, you don't wake up and look for the crappiest thing happening around you or create conflicts on purpose without being really disconnected from your true spirit. I believe that totally. You got to take me back to Jupiter, though. I'm just saying, okay. I have more details. So who did you meet? What did you see? Oh, my God. Okay, so you're on Jupiter. Now what?
Right.
Is this a different dimensional version of Jupiter?
You know, I don't think so. I think, and I've met a lot of scientific people around, I'm being told by many, many people, and I've personally experienced that the idea of Jupiter being a gaseous object that's been struck by these comets and all that stuff, a lot of that, I think, is a Hollywood creation. I think it's a deliberate fabrication on the part of the governments of the world, and I believe that it's what you might call Hollywood's best. What we're seeing, what's being broadcast on television, what's being put on the airwaves worldwide, is a massive cover-up story. I believe that the planets around in our local solar system are inhabited, and I believe that the moon, the sun, and all the planets are entirely different than what we've been told.
Wow. Even the moon.
Even the moon, definitely the moon. I believe that the moon is a hollow. I believe that it's a base for spacecraft, and that it's occupied, and that there's a civilization there. And I'm not the only one. There's literally tons of scientific and very intelligent people that not only believe that, they know that. They have been there.
Huh.
And back. The world is not as we've been told, Nicole. There's something going on here, and as the musical song goes.
Well, certainly I know that, I mean, that's what the whole waking up movement is about on the planet, is questioning everything. And anything that you think you know because you've just been told, you know, I'm all for that, because you've got to have your own direct experience, you know. Otherwise, you're just repeating something you were told, and that's not knowing. So from that perspective, you know, I'm open to hearing the rest of the story. Now, what about the lunar landing then? Did that actually happen?
You know, I'm sure that there probably was a lunar landing, and I don't have a problem with that. What many of the people, and I'll, first of all, I didn't go to the moon, so I can't speak firsthand about the moon. I went to Jupiter. So there are other people, though, that have spoken to me directly about the moon, and some of them are very closely connected with some of the astronauts. And they tell me that on the backside of the moon, there's a lot more going on, and there's entryways into the moon itself, so for the spacecraft that come and go. And if you've seen some of the NASA footage that has managed to be aired, you know, you've seen probably a lot of spacecraft. We do have in Fast Walkers some footage that was taken by Al Tolman, who's an astronomer, showing shadows of a massive spacecraft actually on the moon. And it's going at a very, very high rate of speed and does a 180-degree turn, which is impossible with the kind of craft that they say we have. And again, we get back to they say. And who is they say? Well, I believe that they say are all of the people who control the top communication and military and the space command and all of that. And NASA falls under that.
So back to the arrived at Jupiter. It's the whichever version, dimensional version of it. You're there. What's the first thing you see?
Oh, the first thing I saw was, you just couldn't help but notice the sky. It was an aurora borealis of color, violets, pinks, blues, pastel green, and it has a beautiful seascape where I was. But the liquid, that instead of being seawater, is more of a mercury look to it, although I wouldn't say it's mercury, but it has a silvery texture to it. I did not go in the liquid. I was there on the beach for a while after the briefing. There were some buildings. They were low level, probably two-story high. They were kind of made of some type of white stone-looking material. It might have been a composite, though, because I never went up and touched it. And at the briefing, there were over 50 other individuals who were also briefed. These were people from planet Earth who were there for the same briefing, and I would like to extend a request that anybody who attended the briefing, please contact me. My email is on the website. Also, if you go to the Fast Walker website, my picture is there along with the other people that appeared in the film, because I talk about my experience. My director kind of cut it way down. I only get about a minute and a half in the film. But you can click on my face and you can hear a little bit about the experience, and also my email address is there. And every single person who is in the Fast Walker documentary, their picture is there. You click on their name or their face, and you'll get the links to their bios and their website.
Okay.
And I just want to thank you for having me on your show, because it's radio shows like yours and television shows that are going to get the word out there to the world about what's really going on.
Absolutely. Now, so you haven't connected here on Earth with any of the 50 people that they were at the briefing with you on Jupiter?
Not directly. However, as a result of being on with Art Bell for 3 hours a few years ago, I did connect up with my co-producer, Bruce Jessup, in Germany. And when he saw the picture of the ship that was on the front of my Safe Space book, he said he recognized it immediately. Now, he has no recall of being at the briefing. But what he did say is he saw that ship and he knew he was supposed to be working with me. He tracked me down because I was on a book tour, and he actually got in contact with me and told me that he wanted to help me in any way he could. At that time, he was raising a budget of $30 million to do the Safe Space movie itself. That money did not materialize. And he said, well, why don't we do something together? So he, myself, my director, and a few other individuals, a very small team of about 6 people from all over the world, put our resources and time in for 3 years and produced the Fast Walker documentary. Other individuals have contacted me and said they believe they've had similar experiences. Someone told me about a reporter from Los Angeles who was a major editor with the LA Times who had had a UFO experience where he went up to a briefing and also was aboard a spacecraft. And I have not spoken to him and I have not read his book. And I apologize for not knowing his name.
Interesting. I mean, I can understand if that was going on, but the targets in the media would be ideal connections. So you arrive, you see the Seas Cave, you're on Jupiter, there's a meeting where there's 50 other people from Earth. What was covered at the meeting?
Basically, we were shown holograms or visions of, or we traveled into the future, and we saw what I would term the destiny or the potential destiny of the planet Earth and the people. We saw that unless things changed, unless something happened to change the course of the future, that the planet Earth would go through massive geologic and sociologic change. There would be a breakdown of civilization as we know it. There would be massive food shortages, disease, starvation, electrical systems would go down, earth changes, cataclysms, and incredibly violent wars and destruction. And all of that was coming. I thought at the time, I've always had trouble with the time track, because I came back from this briefing believing I had to start immediately. And I believe that doing the movie and the whole thing that happened with Columbia was like the linchpin that would launch this, and Columbia agreed to build the ship because in this story, the Safe Space story, a group of people come together and they build this totally self-contained, very modern, seagoing vessel that travels the world as a model of people working together. And Columbia was going to build that ship, and it wouldn't be fully operational, but they would give it to me after the motion picture as part of my contract. However, when it didn't happen with Columbia, I was very, very disillusioned, and over the course of the next 25 or 30 years, have worked to be able to raise the capital and the money. And, you know, through the ups and downs, I've been involved in the entertainment business, had some good times and some bad times, but it's only been recently that I think we're nearing the time track now when we'll be able to successfully do that. And we're talking about actually getting started on the model of the ship now. This weekend I'm here with a person who helped me actually draw and design the book that's on the cover of Safe Space and of that ship. And we're actually going to be looking at what are the interior accommodations like. And I think the time is now, and I think it's going to take a ship like that. If we face these cataclysmic times ahead, I want to be aboard a vessel like that, not only for my own security, but to get away from the cities. The cities are going to be very, very hard hit and cold, and people that are living in the cities are going to face massive, massive sociological problems. I mean, it's going to be a literal police state.
Now, as you say, though, is that those things, those elements are still unnecessary. If certain things are changed.
Yeah, I think we can change. That's my goal and my mission. And I believe that people everywhere face these earth changes. It's not just the United States. And that's one of the things that comes out in the Fast Walkers movie, is that things are going on worldwide. And it's amazing because in Brazil and in Mexico, people know so much more about the reality of the way the world is. They know about the saucers. You know, the governments have released information. We're doing a big premiere in Phoenix on the 21st of February on the Fast Walker movie, but in Toronto we're going up on March 7th, and the Canadian government is very open to some of these things, much more open than the U.S. government is. And people are telling us, people who know, I mean, these are people who are top-level scientists, top-level military people, top-level government officials who can't go public, are telling us that disclosure, you know, the actual truth about the ET relationship with this planet and the subject of exopolitics, which is the effect of extraterrestrials on our political structures on this planet is about to be revealed. And that's what Fastwalkers in Space Base is all about. That's what my mission is.
Okay. Well, let's get into that then. You have these visions. I mean, were they really general like that, sort of general cataclysmic visions, or was there anything specific that you came away from that briefing with?
Well, specifically, I was convinced enough that I totally changed my life. I mean, I immediately took steps that everything in my life became different. And all I can say is it's specific enough that right now, if I were a person that were living in a city, I would do everything necessary to get myself away from those massive population areas and into an area where they'd be safe. Like, I happen to live up in the high country of Arizona, up in the mountains, and it's a very, very safe area. It's safe because we live up on a very high plateau at about 6,500 feet that goes on up to 8,500 feet. There's great water. There's good food. There's wildlife. Also, it happens to be that the radiation patterns, if there were nuclear strikes like terrorism or something, the radiation wouldn't blow up in this area. But so I would say that I don't like to be a pessimist or a person who talks about doom. I would rather talk about how we can make it better and how we can change it. But I would be concerned for the safety of my family and even my own welfare if I lived in a major population area, especially in the Pacific, in the area of the Pacific and the Pacific Northwest.
Okay. But again, the things that you were given in this briefing, what specifically were they telling you as far as the changes to make?
Well, you know, it goes back to the stuff that Casey talked about. And, you know, you've got people that are saying that the whole area up to the Arizona mountains are going to break off and fall into the sea in a series of quakes. You're going to see massive amounts of land and earth changes in terms of the geographical boundaries of the United States will be totally reshaped, and including different areas of the world. It's not going to just happen here. And even Al Gore says that if just the glaciers and things continue to melt, you know, I'm not going to say that this is going to happen tomorrow, but I would say that, you know, going into the years up until around 2012 and stuff, we're going to see global changes that will affect every land area where people live.
So what did they tell you as far as what we were supposed to be doing to avert these things?
Well, first of all, I know that we can affect reality. I know that if we as a people on this planet were to immediately be thinking good thoughts and change thinking thoughts about improving ourselves and improving our planet, that we would see changes within the matter, energy, space, and time, physical universe that we call day-to-day reality. And I think the first thing is a consciousness change, and you're working on that with your program. And there's so many light workers out there. George Nori just wrote a book on light working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that whole consciousness movement, I think what you guys are doing and what we're doing, I think that's, first of all, the first step, the consciousness change. Don't you think so?
It is where it's at, I believe. But that's the thing is that, I think that's why that shift is happening on the planet. So we have access to higher energy solutions, higher energy meaning higher consciousness. And because if these Jupiterians or whatever they are beaming in and out of LaGuardia, then there's an easier answer than sort of fear-based stuff, I believe. That, you know, that's my thing. But I think that's why the shift is happening in general, so we have access to something new.
Exactly. And as I've met the different individuals that are within the Fastwalker documentary, these are people that have dedicated their lives to this. Many of them have PhDs. Many of them are scientists. Many of them are people who have have had contact themselves. They're in touch, and there seems to be somewhere between 50 and 60 different extraterrestrial civilizations that are interfacing with planet Earth at this time. And some of those are good and want the best for mankind. Others, as Dr. Stalas talks about, consider humanity and this planet as a resource. And they drain not only our psychic energy, and they farm our psychic energy, but they also, in some cases, actually abduct people. And there's even talk about a harvest of humanity. And that's a scary thought, and I don't put it out very often, and I don't dwell on it. But what we have to realize is that there's probably a good and a bad side to this extraterrestrial situation.
Well, again, which would make sense if we're in a dualistic universe so far. what in every group, what can you do? What is the point of the Fast Walker documentary then, to wake up people to the reality that they're here?
Exactly. Fast Walker, I like to refer to it as a disclosure tool, because what we attempted to set out and apparently have done, because we've had very, very good reviews on it, is we have attempted to provide a vehicle for the top experts in the world. And when I call them, I hate to use the word expert, but let's use the word authorities, people that have dedicated their lives to science and the study of this subject and the dynamics involved in it, both the social dynamics and the physical dynamics of it. Like this next weekend, I have an individual coming up, Wendell Stevens, who happens to be about 82 years old, retired military colonel, who was in charge of the whole bomber division that was doing flights from Alaska, recording all kinds of extraterrestrial contact that was occurring in the early 60s, later involved in Project Grudge, which occurred after Blue Book, and has continued to study this subject. He's authored 18 books on the subject. He has a library of over 4,000 UFO photographs, the largest in the world. And he's in the motion picture. He's an example of the kind of people, and what we're doing is we're going to libraries and giving public talks on the subject and showing fast walkers. And we also have people like A.J. Gavard, who is one of the top researchers in the world. He has edited and created and published the UFO magazine in Brazil. As a result of his effort and other people in Brazil, they have forced the Brazilian government to disclose the information. He has actually been in the military archives, seen the photographs and the motion pictures taken of the UFOs in the Amazon. Dealing with Brazil is phenomenal. They have forced the people of Brazil, under the leadership of people like AJ, have forced the government of Brazil to disclose the truth about extraterrestrials. And that's what Fast Walkers is about. We intend to, on a worldwide basis, through the efforts of all these people, and it's being translated into other languages now, to force the governments of the world to tell the truth about the cover-up.
Okay. And do you think that they'll actually do that, and why aren't they doing that now?
Well, I think that they will do it. I think there will be resistance to do it. The reason they're not doing it now is because, first of all, the governments of the world, it's not the little government guys, even at the level of heads of departments and things that are doing this. This is being controlled through massive black projects. And those black projects, Dr. Sala reports, and he shows the facts and figures, in just the United States alone, represents $1.7 trillion a year. Now, the U.S. Department of Defense budget per year is a little over $400 billion. So what that means is that every year, the people of the United States finance and fund four times more money into black projects that support the extraterrestrial cover-up, and projects that deal with energy, medicine, health, and if all those things were known, and this is covered very succinctly in the Fast Walker documentary by very highly educated and competent people who have credentials, that there are solutions to our energy problem. We do not have to be burning gasoline, and we don't have to be spending $3 and $4 a gallon for oil. If the truth were known about the level of technology that the extraterrestrials are prepared to give us, there would be no world energy shortage. And the same is true about medicine. So that's the reason for the cover-up.
Okay.
It all goes back to the old Jim Mars there, the journalistic adage, follow the money.
Interesting. Well, we've got to take one break here to the, almost at the top of the hour, but let's come back and pull it all together. We're talking to Robert Niles, who's the producer of Fast Walkers. You can find him online at fastwalkers.com. And what's your Safe Space website address?
Yeah, Safe Space Project is www.safespace, that's SafeSpace project.com. And that's the actual web location for what we call the Safe Space Project. And Fast Walkers is the first motion picture that will be produced by the Safe Space News Agency. And the Safe Space News Agency is dedicated to bringing the truth to the people in the world, not only about UFOs and ETs, but also about health and, you know, other important things that we all need to know about.
Okay, well, that's where you go for that. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more with Robert Niles right after this.
It's not just a show. It's a movement. You're listening to News for the Soul, the number one life-changing radio show in the world, according to Google and AOL, and the largest free life-changing audio resource on the web. We feature the top luminaries in the evolution of human consciousness, and have kept all of our shows, all free, all of the time, for the world to hear. In a recent listener survey, News for the Soul listeners responded with overwhelming appreciation and praise, which they summarized with this one powerful statement. News for the Soul is not just a show, it's a movement. Go to newsforthesoul.com to see for yourself. That's newsforthesoul.com. Who are you? Why are you here? What is the meaning of life? These burning questions have plagued mankind throughout our existence. How would you like to experience a process that would allow you to have some of the answers? Answers that would cause you to live with higher awareness and deeper authenticity from now on? Well, you can. Warrior Sage is offering an experiential 5-day enlightenment workshop called Illumination Intensive. Regularly about $3,000 to attend, Satya and Rasha of Warrior Sage is offering this life-changing 5-day course to New Civic Soul listeners totally for free. That's right. The tuition has been completely waived for all New Civic Soul listeners. Satya says this experience is so profound, he wants to share it with the world. So don't miss out on this special opportunity. To have your own direct experience of awakening with Warrior Sage, go to illuminationintensive.com now and tell them New Civic Soul sent you. That's illuminationintensive.com. The laughter meditation is just one of the special methods taught by meditation master Prodito Dutt, recently featured on News for the Soul. Using the special techniques she uses, Prodito was able to transform her fear, anger, and pain into love, creativity, and freedom. And now she can share these secrets with you. You'll learn how to eliminate the negative conditioning that stands in your way and open yourself to the clarity of mind, inner wisdom, and wealth you deserve. Prodito has put together an amazing package for just News for the Soul listeners. Go to Prodito.com/News for the Soul to find out more. That's Prodito.com/News for the Soul.
In December 2005, News for the Soul host Nicole Whitney experienced the most dramatic, life-changing psychic reading of her life. In that brief 10-minute mini-session, she released years of emotional baggage when Carrie O'Connor connected with a recently deceased family member, bringing Nicole a life-changing message from beyond the grave. Since that fateful day, Nicole has invited Carrie O'Connor on as a regular News for the Soul guest to do readings on the air. But you do not have to wait. Carrie is available for private sessions right now. Nicole has laughingly suggested wearing goggles and a helmet for these sessions because of the powerful energy that seems to come through Carrie when she's doing a reading. But don't take our word for it. Experience it for yourself. So pack up your goggles and helmet and book your life-changing session with Carrie O'Connor today. Go to InsideOutSideIn.com. That's InsideOut-OutsideIn.com.
Now, all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. And let's get back to the show.
And we're back on Nicole Eunice of News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio, from the uplifting to the very, very unexplained today. And a very interesting conversation we're having with film producer Robert Miles, the creator of Space Project. Dustwalkers.com is where you begin. And that's where we sort of began today. It's awfully, awfully difficult to cram this into 1 hour. I think we may have to have you back to delve further. But, oh boy, what a story. You know, and it's interesting because I can see how a lot of people will be in their minds with this one, struggling with judging the story. And as journalists, you know, we're conditioned to not have these conversations pretty much. You know, these are crazy conversations. That's our conditioning as journalists. But I'll tell you, I had my own direct experience in Peru a year and a half ago. And I know that we don't really know anything that we think we know. So that's all I know. Isn't it so? You know, you have one of those life-altering moments and nothing really can be the same if you're conscious during it. Very aha. So I appreciate that you're at least getting people to wake up and question. Now, where do they access your movie from? Is it going to be in the theaters, or where is Fast Walkers going to air?
Okay, well, a neat thing is happening. First of all, Fast Walkers is available on DVD, and they can get that on the internet. Also, we just had a motion picture premiere in a Cinemaplex in Sholo, Arizona, because that's actually my hometown, and they have an independent theater chain up here. And they invited us in, and we had tremendous response from the local media. And although there is a massive cover-up on this subject at the level of Washington, D.C., and in some cases the national and international media, local media people seem to be all too happy to cover the story. And so we had it in a theater. It was Fast Walkers was actually filmed in high definition, and as a result of that, we showed it in high definition in the theater in full digital projection. And what's occurring now is we're having a theater premiere in Phoenix, Arizona on the 21st of February at Harkins there. And Harkins is one of the major theater people in the world. Hollywood premieres their motion pictures at the Harkins Theater where we are having ours at Arizona Mills. And they have the most advanced crispy digital projectors, the most advanced beautiful like they use for Star Wars, the Lucas films, will be showing Fast Walkers there. And we are tremendously excited about that. We're going to be covering that with motion picture and video. We will actually be putting a lot of that footage up on Google for people to see how the premiere actually goes. The one that we had here in Sholo was covered by two international radio stations that did live remotes from the premiere. And there are a lot of really great pictures up at fastwalkers.com right on the homepage. If you go in and you take a look at the Greater Arizona Premiere events and also the Fast Arizona White Mountains Fast Walker coverage, the photo gallery and the media gallery links there, you'll see a lot of stuff from the premiere. and the great, great people that came. We had some of our featured people, Charles Hall, a nuclear physicist who was a weatherman at Area 51, who actually stood in front of the audience and told people that he saw as many as 200 tall white aliens conversing and interacting with military generals and international corporate level people at Area 51. He was there for over a year, where he actually met and talked with and associated with the aliens on a regular basis. And he's a nuclear physicist. In addition to that, we had four or five other major people, including a world-renowned biologist, who come in and talk about the planetary changes. So when we have these premier events, and we have one in Toronto, Canada, on March the 7th, and there'll be another one in Hawaii on May 10th, 11th, and 12th. All of these are being done either in large auditoriums or they're being done at motion picture complexes. And we do have a major studio interested in the documentary now, taking it on a major theater release. So we have hopes that people will be able to see Fast Walkers in their theater, but in the meantime, they can definitely get it on DVD.
I hope you get it up here to Vancouver as well, because I would like to check it out, and I'm sure many of our local listeners here would be very interested. And it sounds very intriguing. Is it very similar to the sort of Disclosure Project kind of testimonial?
Well, you know, Dr. Greer, of course, is in the Fast Walker documentary, mm-hmm. and he does a wonderful job. He's one of the real heroes of our modern time. And there are testimonies, but this has 3D animation. This has direct experience, people talking about their own abduction experiences. There are some disclosure witnesses, very similar to what Dr. Greer shows on his material. We did cover the X conference with Steve Bassett, and we have footage from the X conference. We also covered the International UFO Congress, and we have individuals who were both speakers and participants, contactees, and experiencers in that. There's a lot of really good 3D art. There's some really high-quality light waves and Maya animations, and there's some great saucer pictures as well, as in addition to actual footage of the shots from the moon by Al Tolman.
I'm curious, what's your theory on, like, why don't more of us have Jupiterians beam it into their statements, have a chat, and taken us up to Jupiter? Like, why is that happening more to more of us? That's more of us wake up.
Well, I think that, you know, it's really amazing because actually during the premiere, we had people stand up in the audience, people that we didn't even know was there, and talk about their own personal experiences and the things that were happening to them. One fellow was actually at a nuclear missile silo when a UFO came over and shut the missile silo down. And we didn't even know that he was in the audience. We have Travis Walton, who many people will remember from the motion picture Fire in the Sky,
mm-hmm.
was in the audience. And so what we're finding is that millions and millions of people out there in the world have had UFO or contact experiences or, you know, consciousness experiences, and they're coming forward with these. So I don't think it's nearly as unusual as people think. We believe that as much as probably one out of every five people on the planet is open to the ideas that we're talking about here today. They're open to the idea of planetary change that involves higher level consciousness. And whether you call that ETs or extraterrestrials, or you call that just interdimensionality or spiritualism, angels, devils, demons, whatever, you know, they all kind of boil down to something's going on here. And that's what Fast Walkers and Safe Space is all about.
Well, it's intriguing because, I'll tell you, ever since Crew, I've really never been the same. And you know what the weird aspect about that was? proven that we saw something and that I filmed something for a long time. It was that it showed up, they showed up, as a result of me calling them in.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's a kind of a long story. I'll send you the link. It's on my website there if anybody's listening and who hasn't seen that yet. newsfitafo.com/Peru-study-TM. I mean, that's what freaked me out the most, because I knew it was like a communicative, you know, direct. I mean, I thought I was just nuts, you know. Oh, God, I've got a fever or something. But, I mean, you know, there's military people and doctors, and everybody saw it, and they're all excited, and the whole thing's on film. And you know, silently in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, my God, you know what that means.
Wow, isn't that amazing? And as you and I discussed, you've done some things with remote viewing. And you've got personal experiences along that line, haven't you?
Well, and that's the group I was with in Peru, ironically, with Dr. David Morehouse, former CIA remote viewer, and a few experienced viewers from around the world. That is mostly the higher level, you know, once you've been through all of the training for years. So, yeah, interesting, huh?
Oh, no kidding. And it's what's happening, of course, is that through the vehicles that we're trying to create, like Fast Walkers, in our future films and things that we'll do, the people of the world, and thanks to the internet, which includes now video streaming that's coming out, people are going to be able to discover this and realize what's really true instead of what they're being told and spoon-fed.
Well, that's the thing. We have to go on our higher instincts and our direct experience. We can't just repeat what we've been told. That's the number one step. So, you know, anything that's a tool for opening up our consciousness and awareness and bringing us more in the moment is key, I think, to, you know, wake up. Wake up and question everything. At least start there. And not from a fear-based place, because that's all sort of outside of ourselves, I think, too. But just, you know, stepping into our higher self and waking up. So thank you for doing your part on that. And we're already at the top of the hour. This flew by, and I have a million more questions. So hopefully we can get you on the show again in the future.
Oh, well, thank you very much. And for your listeners out there, please tell them to call their theaters and ask the theater owners, especially if they're independent, to have Fast Walkers in their area, because it is available as a motion picture. That was what it was created. Of course, it's on by DVD, and if they want to call about it, if they happen to be a listener that's not on the internet, if they call 928-537-2083, and just be patient, because the lines get busy. We've had a lot of people that want the DVD.
Excellent. Okay. Well, I have a feeling you'll be premiering up here in Vancouver no time soon, so I look forward to meeting you there. I'm sure I will.
You bet. Well, let's do it together. Let's get Fast Walkers to Vancouver.
I think it needs to be here, so I look forward to that. And in the meantime, fastwalkers.com is where you go. Thank you, Robert Niles, for being on the show.
And thank you, Nicole. You've got a great program.
All the best. Okay. So, you know, open the mind, question everything. We'll see you next time, everybody.
It's not just a show. It's a movement. You're listening to News for the Soul, the number one life-changing radio show in the world, according to Google and AOL, and the largest free...